I don't know if you can think in your mind of a favorite meal that if you ever have a chance to revisit it, you're happy to do so. Tonight I'm going to go to one of the most wonderful passages of Scripture that has been an untold blessing to people who are the saints and children of God and the pilgrims of this life for ages. There have been many poems written from it. There have been many songs sung about it. Psalm chapter 23. I want you to read it together with me. And for a few minutes tonight, we're going to revisit some of the truths here and to see if the Lord won't help us. I need it, I can tell you for sure. And I hope it will prove to be a blessing to you and meet a need in your life as well. Psalm 23. Psalm number 23. Give you a moment, make sure everybody's got a chance to find it, and then we'll read it together in unison. We won't read it rapidly or quickly. We'll just read it kind of quietly or kind of deliberately, savoring every statement. And as you read it, I hope you'll do that. And, you know, sometimes if we're not good readers, we're concentrating on our reading. But if you can, try to concentrate on the truth that's being said, and then we'll try to amplify those truths a little bit in a few minutes. All right, let's begin. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful psalm. And the title at the beginning says this is David's confidence in God's grace, a psalm of David. And of course, it may not have the same significance to you and to me as it would have to David, because David was a shepherd, well acquainted with the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And so as he pondered that relationship and he saw those sheep, he somehow or another saw himself in the same light and thought about his need for direction, his need for provision, his need for protection, and realized that he had a shepherd too, and that was the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. That's personal. And I think, first of all, tonight you need to ask yourself this question, is the Lord my shepherd? In order to answer that question in the right way, you need to ask yourself this, am I a sheep? Do you see yourself as a sheep? Now, I did some reading this week. Not a lot, but I did some reading about sheep. And much of it was repetitive. I read about this article about sheep, read this article about sheep, and learned about some of their customs and their habits and the things they do, the things they're known for, their specific needs and particular weaknesses and so forth. There was a lot of repetition. There was a lot of not disagreement, but a lot of variance in things that people said about sheep. For example, there are those that said sheep are dumb animals. And there are those who said only people think sheep are dumb animals. They're not dumb. They're smart, but they have habits and they're creatures of habit and they tend to be followers and so forth. So I learned about sheep. But the one thing for sure that I learned about sheep is that sheep are always reacting to their surroundings. They're always reacting to their surroundings. They are affected deeply by what happens around them and what's going on. And I would ask you tonight, do you see yourself in that situation? Are we not like sheep in that? Do we not react all the time to our circumstances? Aren't we drastically affected by the things that surround us? Have you ever felt in your life like you really don't know what to do next or where to go next? Now, I'm sure that there are many people who don't feel that way. They have the answers. They feel like they know what to do. But a sheep does not. A sheep has no sense of direction. It's not to say he's dumb. He just is unable to find his way on his own. That's the way God made them. But all articles seem to agree that sheep have very little sense of direction, and therefore they are prone to wander or prone to be in a place where they should not be and where they're more readily or more easily exposed to danger. Sheep are weak. They are unable to protect themselves. What they do more often than not for protection is they flock together. They believe somehow, instinctively know, guess provided by God in his goodness to sheep, that there is strength in numbers. So if the enemy approaches, they don't have any ability to fight the enemy or to ward off the enemy, but they try to crowd together, flock together in a tight circle, and they count on the fact that the predator will not attack when there are multitudes there. And more often than not, the predator does not choose to do that. He will wait. He looks for a stray. He looks for a wanderer. There's a lot of quick preaching there, a quick lesson for us. You know, the Bible warns us that we ought to assemble ourselves together and not forsake that. As the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. There is strength in numbers. And sheep depend on one another, and they need one another. Sheep are very fearful creatures. They don't want to go into something that they cannot see the end of. They don't want to go into darkness. So they say if you're going to take them through a tunnel or through a gateway or through some, then you need to have a bright light shining at the other end. They need to be able to see light on the other side. It still might be difficult to get them to go, but they're fearful. And they need things to be quiet around them. They are easily fearful. And I would suggest that the Bible is written to man, and man is fearful, because the Bible over and over and over and over again says, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Rest. Let go. Have confidence. So I would say to you tonight, a sheep, in the sense of a human being like David, is a humble person. Is a person who realizes that he is not able to live life by himself. He needs leadership. He needs direction. He needs protection. And the truth of the matter is, if you and I really sat and thought about it, you know, if after we left the service tonight, we went and found a quiet place apart where there's no noise and nobody to distract us, and we just thought about our life and thought about where we have gone and the decisions we've made and the things that we've done, we would realize that we were looking for leadership. We were looking for, and we found it somewhere. Whether it was in our peers, or whether it was in a work a career, or whether it was in a church, or whatever. But we needed that, and we found it. This passage of Scripture takes on a sweet significance to the humble man or woman who has come to realize that the way of man is not in himself. He is not able to direct his own steps. He needs direction. He needs provision. He needs protection. And if you are a sheep, there is no greater shepherd than the Lord. Why? Because the Lord, the Bible declares over and over again, is good. He is good. He is full of kindness and mercy, gentleness and long-suffering. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The little girl who was trying to remember her memory verse, Psalm 23 and verse 1, said it this way to her mom, "The Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want." She got it right. If the Lord is your shepherd, that's all you will ever want. But of course, the idea here is that the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall never be lacking or deficient in any area of provision or protection. It will all be provided for me. And then also it means I shall not want in the sense that I will never covet. I will be content because I have him and he will always be my supply. If I run out of bread, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. And we could go on and on with that truth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I'm not going to take all of these verses and look at all of them individually. We could do that, and we've taken the time in the history of our church to preach a series of messages through Psalm 23 where we spent like two or three sermons on each verse and examine the lives of sheep and so forth. Tonight, my purpose is just to bring you back like to a touchstone and have you touch again this marvelous truth and maybe awaken something in your heart and your soul that will help you as you walk through your daily life. The first thing we notice here that the shepherd does is he provides. The sheep has provision. I shall not want. And then he goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The green pastures speak of nourishment, speak of a place to feed where you're going to receive the nourishment you need. And once your belly is full, once you have received that satisfaction, then you lay down in that green grass, which is comfortable and soft and allows you to rest. They tell me that sheep spend 15% of their life sleeping, or 15% of their day sleeping, or laying down anyway, if not sleeping. But the sheep is contented. So we see the idea of provision, not only with the green pastures, but he leads me beside the still waters. When you think about green grass and green pastures, I can tell you from being out in the early morning walking around, you need, if you're going to do that often, and especially if you're going to be walking on grass, you need waterproof shoes. Because so often it has not rained and the sprinkler's not been on, but the grass is wet because God has watered it with the dew of heaven. And that's still waters. And there is the water that comes from a deep well, and there's the springs or streams that would be found. The shepherd seeks those things out, and he provides a place for the sheep to be nourished, to be satisfied, to be rested. He restoreth my soul. Every night when you and I pillow our heads, the goal, though we may not recognize it, we need rest or we need sleep, but you know why you need it? It's to restore your body. It's to restore your physical strength. It's to refresh. You have used up the energy. Now you need to replenish the enemy. You need energy. You need to be ready for tomorrow. And so God allows us the food we need, the nourishment we need, the refreshment that we need to restore our soul. I cannot tell you how many times in my life I have been so weary and so bewildered. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? But in the morning hours of waiting on God and walking with God and feeding on God's goodness and as the songwriter says, walking with him, talking with him, I am restored in my soul. And now I'm ready. Now not just my body is alert now and rested and ready, but my soul is rested. So the sheep who has a shepherd knows provision, and as a result, he experiences contentment. Is the Lord your shepherd? He will provide, and you will be content. Not only do I see that, but then I see the sheep that has the shepherd, especially the Lord for his shepherd, knows precession. He not only knows provision, but he knows precession. He leads me, verse number 2. He leads me in verse number 3. He is with me in verse number 4. The shepherd leads. Brother Weedrick and I were talking one time, and he was telling me that he had had some experience with sheep, and he said, you just have to learn, you have to know you cannot drive sheep. You have to lead them. They're stubborn, and you can really exhaust yourself trying to make them go anywhere, but you can lead them. And by the way, the shepherd who provides for the sheep, who has, they say if you have a pail of grain, the best way to lead sheep is to have a pail of grain. And they'll follow you wherever you go. So if you want to get them from one place to another, just give them the promise of filling their belly. And now if you didn't think you were sheep before, do you know you are sheep now? Just promise a little food, a little meal, and you'll follow. Well, precession. The sheep knows that wherever he has to go today or wherever he might venture tomorrow, the shepherd has already gone and the shepherd will lead him there. So he is preceded by the shepherd. And so the provision of the shepherd leads him to contentment. The precession of the shepherd leads him to confidence. He's confident. He can face tomorrow. He can face the day because he knows. He is aware that he's a sheep and he's not a shepherd, but the shepherd is leading him. And as he follows the shepherd goes before him. So he has confidence because he is not going somewhere that's not been checked out, somewhere where no one has gone before, somewhere where there's danger unobserved or unnoticed, but the Father or the Lord, the shepherd, goes before him. Are you content tonight? Do you enjoy confidence? And then thirdly, I see not only in the life of a sheep who has a good shepherd, joy of provision, the joy of precession, but also, of course, protection. The sheep says here, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The idea is, whatever fear may overwhelm me, whatever I may encounter, you are going to be there for me and you're going to protect me. So I'm comforted by your presence. The idea is that of protection. The sheep is weak and unable to protect himself, but the knowledge that the shepherd is there and has a rod to drive away the predator or the enemy and a staff to guide the sheep and to bring back the erring sheep is protection for his life. So because he knows that he is protected, then the sheep is courageous. The sheep is not afraid. The sheep is able to face his fears. And that's what courage is, facing fear. It's not the absence of fear. It's the ability to go forward though you're afraid, though you don't know what's going to happen, but you forge ahead anyway because your confidence is in your protector. So we see a sheep then who has a shepherd, and David specifically as a man who has the Lord for his shepherd knows and experiences contentment because of his shepherd's provision, confidence because of his shepherd's precession, and courage because of his shepherd's protection. And by the way, I might also say comfort, because he said, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Now go to verse 5. We're going to come back to verse 5, but let's just hit it for a moment. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. The sheep experiences preparation. The shepherd makes the preparation. The shepherd knows ahead of time what's needed, scouts out the land, looks for the water, and prepares a table. The word table, interestingly enough, is a word that we often use to describe a plateau. As a matter of fact, in the Spanish language, it's called a mesa. And that's the Spanish word for tables. And there's also an African word for tables that's very similar. And so the idea basically in the shepherd and the sheep here in Psalm 23 is that as the shepherd prepares finds green pasture for him to lie down in and still waters for him to be led beside, a place to restore his soul. As he does that, he prepares that table, he does it in the presence of his enemies, but there's preparation. And therefore, the sheep experiences calm. There's no anxiety. There's no worry. There's no fretting or stewing over planning or over making arrangements or making things work out. But the sheep rest in the knowledge that the shepherd is preparing, is always going before, and is because he precedes him, he is preparing for him. And so he experiences calm. Then I want you to know that he also has the blessing of prescription. Prescription. You'd have to know a little bit more about the sheep to get that word. But if you look at the verse again, verse 5, "Thou anointest my head with oil." In Bible lands and the lands of that day, David would have been well familiar with this. One of the enemies of the sheep is the insect, the fly, the bug. It's a nasal fly. And they would get inside their nostrils and they would drive them mad or drive them crazy. And it was a terrible problem. And so the wise shepherd is always alert for that. And he would anoint the head with oil. He would prescribe what was needed as an antidote to that which would trouble or upset or cause sickness or illness or disease. And the shepherd knows the right prescription for comforting his sheep and keeping them comforted. So because of the prescription of the shepherd, the sheep knows comfort. So the sheep enjoys contentment, he enjoys confidence, he enjoys courage, he enjoys calm, he enjoys comfort. And then finally, I would say that you'll notice the idea of perpetuation here. The psalmist said, surely, goodness and mercy. Now, the reason he said that is because those are the two words that most often describe the character of the Lord. Check it out yourself. Look at them together. Look up in your concordance, goodness and mercy. Or look at them separately, just goodness. And look at mercy. And see how often they are used in describing your God. The God who created you. The God who loved you enough to send his son to redeem you. He's good and he's merciful. Those are the two terms that describe him. Now, because he never dies, because he can never be fired from his job, as a shepherd, he won't fall asleep and he won't lose track of his sheep. He won't abandon his sheep. He'll always be there. So the one who has the Lord for a shepherd enjoys that wonderful experience of perpetual care, perpetuation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and because the Lord lives forever, and those who belong to him live forever, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that means that because of perpetuation, the sheep who belongs to the Lord enjoys continuance. That's his blessing, continuance. Now, just in the few minutes we have left, look at verse 5 again. And let's think about this for a moment. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Everything that the shepherd does for you and for me, and if you're not familiar, of course, John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the relationship of you and I to Jesus Christ determines whether or not we are the sheep of his pasture. But if you are the sheep of his pasture, he is always providing for you a green pasture to lie down in. He is always providing for you a still water to walk beside, to lay beside. He is always restoring your soul and leading you in the right path, in the right way, protecting you. And he does all of that in the presence of your enemies. So note these things quickly. Number one, every good man has enemies. David was a good man. He was not a perfect man. He was not a sinless man, but he was a good man. He was a man by God's definition after his own heart. He's a good man. As far as the goodness of men go, David was a good man, but David had enemies. I would say, in contrast, look at the king who had the throne before David. We would not call him a good man. He was in the beginning, it seemed, but then he becomes an evil man. His heart is full of envy and jealousy and hatred. He's mastered by passions and selfishness. David shows none of that. David shows feet of clay. David shows unwise decisions. But he shows none of this desire to destroy, this desire to grasp at power at any cost. He was a good man. And like the one who is his shepherd, Jesus, there's none good but God. And Jesus went about doing good. Good men have enemies. Jesus had enemies. David had enemies. If you're a sheep tonight and you belong to the shepherd, why do you expect you won't have enemies? Get it marked in your mind. You are going to live your life in the presence of enemies. Good men have enemies. We have three in particular that we always talk about. And Brother Weeb referenced them this morning. I think it was Brother Weeb referenced them this morning. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And oftentimes we think that it's the devil that's our greatest enemy. And I submit to you tonight, that's not true. I believe the flesh is my greatest enemy. The world is my enemy. And the devil's my enemy. But the flesh is my greatest enemy. The greatest enemy, the greatest potential threat to any country or to any army is the one not recognized. The one that is looked upon as no threat, as basically okay and trustworthy. And the truth of the matter is, all of us tend by nature to feel that way about ourselves. The sheep feels that way. He needs protection. And the Lord does this in the presence of his enemies. So let's think for a moment about the sheep. The sheep has enemies. And by the way, those enemies are present. They're often present. The preparing by the shepherd is in the presence of the sheep's enemies. Number one, the sheep himself. The sheep who tends to wander away on his own. Or who tends to follow whoever is willing to lead. Sheep are followers. And on one occasion I read about this week, 400 sheep went to their death. Because one sheep went to the edge of a cliff and looked, and it was a chasm that you had to jump across, but it was like, I forget how many, 100 feet deep. And it was far too great for him to, but that sheep believed he could make it, and so he leapt across it, and he leapt to his death, and 400 sheep, one by one, did exactly the same thing. You are your enemy, so you are always in the presence of your enemy. And what the Lord does for you is in full sight of and full recognition that you are an enemy to yourself. So the Lord is making provision for you. He's giving you teaching. He's given you instruction. He gave you his own example. He lived a life on earth to show you how you ought to live and how to avoid the enemy and how to handle the enemies in your life. So there's the presence of his own enemy. Jesus said, follow me and deny yourself. He was providing for you in the presence of your enemy called the flesh. And then the enemies of the world. That'd be surroundings. Flesh is self. The world is surroundings. I already said sheep react to surroundings. And they hurt themselves needlessly. And by the way, I read again this week on more than one occasion, they will do it over and over again the same way, the same time. They'll do the same thing again and hurt themselves. And so the shepherd is always looking at what in this environment is going to be prone to cause the sheep harm. What is going to be a potential cause for him to hurt himself? And so he looks for ways to deal with that. So the shepherd is preparing the life and preparing the way and preparing the day for his sheep with the knowledge of the sheep's nature, his flesh, which is his enemy, and with the knowledge of the world, the surroundings, the things that are around the sheep that will potentially cause him hurt, will potentially entice him to do the wrong thing, to go the wrong way, to fool him or deceive him. You understand? The shepherd thinks that through, and the shepherd knows, and he makes preparation. He prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. And then there is, of course, the devil. There's the wolves. the predators that are lurking out there that want to kill and destroy and hurt. And the shepherd knows all about them. And the shepherd is preparing a table in the presence. Now, you know why the shepherd prepares in the presence of enemies? Because the presence of our enemies is of no consequence to our shepherd. Let it sink in for a minute. The presence of our enemies is of no consequence to our shepherd. Have you not read, dear saints of God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Do you know who we're talking about? The shepherd prepares the table. The idea of preparing is it's methodical. It's deliberate. There's no hurry. There's no rush. There's no hurry and scurry and worry or confusion because, oh, there's an enemy. Oh, and he's got to hurry. He's not doing any of that. He's not panicked about the presence of the enemies because greater is he than the enemy. He prepares the table in the presence of the enemy. Now listen, all of our enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil, are way too powerless to frustrate our God. They might bother you, they do not bother him. He controls it all. He has no problem with the flesh. He's demonstrated that already in his life in the flesh. He has no problem with the world. The world had nothing in him. When St. Kim said, the world had nothing in me, the world had no appeal to him. He knows how to react to the world. He knows how to handle the world. And he has already wounded the enemy. He's already defeated the enemy. Think about this. To be effectual, any enemy, now listen, to be effectual, not just to be an enemy, but to be an effectual enemy, that enemy must not only be contrary to us, but he must be superior to us. So, Levi goes out to side and somebody confronts Levi. And this little guy is about 2.5 feet high, and he's about 8 years old, and he picks a fight with Levi. And he boldly declares, I'm here to destroy you. I'm here to work you over. I'm here to teach you a lesson and knock you down to size. He's his enemy. He's boldly declaring himself to be the enemy. But how effectual is he going to be? See, his effectiveness is not found in the fact that he's contrary to Levi. His effectiveness is only found when he's superior to Levi. If he's superior to Levi, then he's effective as an enemy. Are you with me? So our shepherd prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Why? Because our enemies are not superior to him. They're contrary to him. They're contrary to us, but they are not superior. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a little physical illustration will help you understand it. Natural enemies, water and fire. Contrary, one to the other. And so if you have a fire, then you have enough water, you can put out that fire. The water is contrary to the fire and can overcome it if the water is superior. But I've been up on Lake Kagawong many, 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 many times. And if something on the boat caught fire, I would throw it out into the lake, and the lake would take care of it. It's not going to burn the lake up. I can assure you, the water is superior, so it's an effective enemy. But there are times, if that same fire, something on the boat caught fire, and I had a drop of water, and I threw a drop of water on it, or maybe even just had a little glass of water, or had a dipper and threw some water on it, I may not be able to conquer the fire because the fire is greater than the water. And there are occasions when we can't put out fires, and they rage and they rage and they rage. Why? Because it has a superior nature at that point. So it depends on which enemy is superior for that enemy to be effective. And there is no enemy that has more power than God. He is all powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Our shepherd says that. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And finally, I want to remind you, God taught his people Israel that your enemies, when they did not want to go into Canaan because the enemies looked far too big and far too powerful and far too much to overcome, God said to them through the mouth of a faithful servant, Caleb, our enemies are bread for us. Our enemies are bread for us. They are our nourishment. They are beneficial to us. God has allowed the presence of the enemies in our lives that we might feed upon his protection and his grace. And God grows us and strengthens us through the presence of enemies and through his display of power in overcoming our enemies. What a precious truth. God has not forsaken me when I'm surrounded by my enemies, when I'm aware of my enemies, when I'm being troubled by my enemies, when I'm being wrestled and pinned to the ground by my enemies. God is preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies because they don't trouble him. Now I just have to relax. I just have to enjoy the pasture. Enjoy the water. Let the master take care of the enemies. They'll always be with me. Good men have enemies. And they're always present. But they're of no consequence to our shepherd. And they can indeed by his grace be bread for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I like taking the first phrase and the last phrase to summarize the entire psalm in my life. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you've got a shepherd like that, who provides you with contentment, with confidence, with courage, with calm, with comfort, with continuance, why would you ever not be content to dwell in his house? Now, you're going to dwell in his house because it's his grace. He's chosen you, and he's given you that inheritance. But I like to make the statement as a statement of choice. The Lord is my shepherd. That was my choice. And it's my choice to dwell in his house forever because I realize all of the goodness of my shepherd. Father in heaven, would you cause these precious words penned so many years ago from the heart of a man who knew probably better than anyone in this room and probably better than most people in the world the relationship between a sheep and a shepherd, who had so much opportunity to observe the behavior of sheep. And he said, basically, I see myself in this picture. And then being a shepherd, he knew his own heart and he knew his responsibility and he knew what lengths he would go to when he realized that I'm no better than the God who created me, and he loves me at least that much, if not more, than I love my sheep. And thank you for these precious words. Thank you for this precious truth. The treasures found in these words cannot be mined in one service and can't be mined probably in years of searching and studying, because again, these are eternal truths that as your Spirit is pleased to reveal them to us, we receive them each time we need them, at the moment we need them. And Lord, it's my hope, it's my desire that you impress this passage upon my heart this week and used it in my life because you wanted it to be a blessing to someone in this room. I pray we'd go away encouraged and comforted and rejoicing and feeling privileged that we have such a shepherd as this. Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you for your amazing, unending, unfailing love for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.